Good morning, everyone. Hope we're doing well. It's a great morning. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just pray right now that you would guide us into your presence. I pray that as we go through this sermon, Lord, and conclude our series, that you would just speak to our hearts. I also pray that you would just guide those who do not yet know you, Lord. Pray that you would just stir in their hearts something that is missing. And I pray that you would guide us to have relationships and conversations with those who do not yet know you, so we can show who you are through our life and through our actions. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning is our conclusion to this first series of the year in stewardship. So we've gone over the past few weeks about being good stewards, being faithful to God's provisions in our life. And we're going to turn our focus today on something that significantly influences our walk with God. And that is our time. Our time throughout our day, the time in our life, greatly influences our walk with God, because it, depending on how much time we spend with the Lord, how much time we put into that relationship, really determines the type of relationship you're going to have. As anything, right? If I don't put time to hang out with my kids, or try to, most of the time they don't want to hang out with me, but they love me. I know they do. A couple years, they'll come back around. I hope. But the time that we spend with people in our lives really determines the quality of that relationship. It's hard to maintain something that you don't spend time at, right? It's hard to maintain a skill that you never spend time practicing. If you are a pianist and you don't play at a concert, or you don't go somewhere and you just decide, you know what, I'm not going to play that anymore. And then years and years go by and you get back on the piano and you just go, huh, I forgot. For the longest time when I was a kid, and I am by no means a piano player, but I did learn For Elise, and I did learn the Titanic song, the theme song, when I was younger. And I used to play it over and over and over again, because I can't read music to this day for anything. But I would just play my memory, and it was a skill that I had to continue to maintain. But the moment I didn't spend time in that, I can't play it now. But it's because of the time I spent. So the way we choose to allocate our time shapes not only our individual lives, but also our ability to impact the world around us, through us, for God's kingdom. And the Bible provides us with wisdom on making the most of our years and days, offering guidance in how we can better prioritize our life to align ourselves with God's purpose. So if you had a bank account, which we all tend to do, right? But let's separate bank account right now. Each morning, with $86,000, $86,400 that carried over no balance from day to day, but it allowed you to keep no cash in your account. Every evening it was canceled, but every morning you would wake up and it would be there again. So whatever you failed to use, whatever you failed to spend, would disappear. Would you think about trying to figure out how to spend every moment of that? Spend all of that in a day. If you knew that it was going to disappear tomorrow, would you say, I am going to go do this. I am going to bless this person. I can't spend all this right now. I'm going to go buy this person lunch. I'm going to go do this adventure today. Whatever have you, right? You would think about, what am I going to do if I lose it? Exactly. But if you don't use it, it disappears. So this bank account Its name is time. Okay? Every morning, it credits our account with 86,400 seconds in a day. Every night, whatever is lost, whatever was not used, whatever was wasted, disappears. And every morning, you start with the new amount. Carries over no balances, allows no overdrafts. But each day it opens this new account with you, and if you fail to deposit, the loss is yours, and there's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow either. Think about it. What would you do with that time if you look at it from this perspective? Does it even change your perspective of it? So now let's think about this on a little bit deeper level. On average, I know most people don't sleep this much, but on average, let's say you sleep 7.5 hours a night. I knew I was going to hear the giggles. But that's the math equation I did, and I'm not doing math right now, so that's what we're sticking to. Sleeping the hopeful 7.5 hours a night would equate to 27,000 seconds, okay? Working your 8-hour shift a day would be 28,800 seconds. When we think about commuting from place to place, chores, work, watching TV, hanging out with friends, hanging out with our family, doing whatever we feel like doing, working on a car, whatever it is, all these things cost time in your day that you cannot replace. And you will never get it back. So how are we being good stewards of our time in our life? How much time are you giving to God in yours? So, praying for a few minutes a day. We pray at meals, we bow our heads, and we pray. Reading your devotional in the morning. They're all good things, right? But realistically, how much time of that is spent with God throughout your whole day? When you allocate the prayer and the morning devotionals and whatever else is going, how much time is that? Let's say you pray all three meals. And let's say you really think about it, you pray 20 seconds, okay? Because let's be honest. Morning devotionals roughly average about 10 minutes. I don't know which ones you guys are on. I don't know if you're reading, but they average around 10 minutes a day. A Sunday service is roughly 1 hour unless I get really motivated and excited. Might run a little longer. Throughout the week, if you go to a Bible study, a fellowship, a hangout, roughly about an hour of your time is spent there. If we bring this all together, this is 2 hours and 11 minutes of your week. So if you tell yourself in your life, you're like, I go to church, I hang out with my friends at Bible study, I do my morning devotional. Is that good? Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? Any time spent with God is good. But when you think about it, if you're telling yourself this, that I do all these things. I spend so much time with the Lord, and I'm doing my morning devotional. I go to Wednesday night or Sunday morning Bible study, and I come to church faithfully every single Sunday. We build ourselves up. We put ourselves in this category that we're doing great. But it's good because every time spent with God, no matter what, is good. But let's be truthful. That is 2 hours and 2 hours and 11 minutes of your day. And if you do the math, that is 0.012 of your day. That is 1.2% of your day spent with the Lord. We spend 31% roughly, give or take, okay, 25 to 30, let's be okay, with all of you that get up throughout the night, I don't know. 31% sleeping, 33% working, 1.2% with God. And we have a world full of people that are questioning and asking themselves, why is God not here? Why has God not helped me? What can I do? Why do I not feel him? Why do I not see him in my life? Well, have you asked yourself what time you're spending with him? Are you actively walking away from God in your day? Not because you say in the morning, I'm going to walk away from the Lord today. But are you letting time of other things impact your life? Are you letting work become your priority? Your commute time? The time that you hang out with friends? That TV show that you have to watch? I know it's a thing. Because me and my wife do it every night. Just one more episode. It's only 43 minutes. It's only 10 o'clock. And then, of course, they hit you with that, oh, we have to watch the beginning of the next episode because there's some cliffhanger. And then you get sucked. Well, we're already watching it. 1 o'clock in the morning, you're like, dang it, we did it again. But imagine if you spent that time with God. How would your life be impacted? How would your relationship with the Lord be impacted? So this morning, we're going to look at this. How is our time affected? And how is our time with God? Because if we are good stewards of all areas of our life, we've talked about being good stewards with our gifts, our talents, our finances. But if you are not good stewards of your time with the Lord, the world will take you away from him. The devil doesn't have to come out and directly tell you, hey, I'm here and I'm watching you and I'm going to pull you away. He just has to put things in your life that you like to do. That TV show. That phone call of your buddy saying, let's go hang out. The extra shift at work. Ooh, that's some good money if I work that extra shift. That's all he has to do, is slide in those things that you want, that you feel are good things. Oh, if I do this more, I can provide for my family better. If I hang out with my friend longer, we're going to be closer buddies and hang out. It doesn't have to look bad. The things that distract us from the Lord look great. And it takes our time away from him. So the first thing we have to do, our first point this morning, is we need to make wise decisions. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 16, Paul says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So Paul is sharing right here the importance of walking in wisdom due to the nature of our earthly existence and the challenges we face, that each decision we make has the potential to either further our relationship with God, further advance God's kingdom, further develop our relationship with him in our life, or do the exact opposite and take us away, distract us from him. And this, the days are evil because when we are distracted from living in harmony with God's will in our life. And let me tell you something if you didn't know this. Did you know that you could live with God in every aspect of your life? Did you know that you can bring God with you everywhere you go? Did you know that on that car ride, you could be praying? Don't close your eyes. Okay? You can pray with your eyes open. I don't know what you've heard. But if you're driving, you can spend time with the Lord. If you're driving, you can. I'm a big fan of Audible. I'm going to let you guys know right now. Sorry, I have something in my eye. I'm a big fan of Audible because if I read, I'm one of those people that'll read a page of something and I'm like, huh? And I have to go back and forth. So I listen to a lot of audiobooks. And if I really want to know the information, I listen to the book while reading the book. Okay? But you can spend your time with the Lord in that way. You can spend your time with God at work. You can walk into work every day. It doesn't matter how great your job is or how horrible your boss is or how much you don't want to be there, or maybe you love it because you get to hang out with friends that you have. It doesn't matter. But what you can do is you can walk into work every day and say, Lord, use me for your will today. You have me here for a purpose. You have me at this job for a purpose. You have me on shift today at this time for a purpose. Let me fulfill your will today. And you can now bring God to work. You can bring him into your family, into your relationships. You can bring him into your hanging out with your children. You can bring him into the relationship with your spouse. And by that, you growing with the Lord, you will grow closer to God and the people around you. One of the things that I've always, that I learned and I've always took to heart, it was a long time ago, but me and my wife, you know, love each other very much. We always have. But I annoy her royally. And I think over the last 15 years, she's just learned how to deal with me better because I'm just a big kid and I annoy her. But one thing I learned is that I'm here, she's there. God's always the center. When I thought about how to grow closer to my wife on my own, things would distract me. Life would distract me. Work would distract me. But I told myself, if I was growing closer to God, and it's this little triangle analogy, if I'm going for God and she's going for God, we have no choice but to grow closer together. Because the closer we get to God, the closer we are together. So you can't get through the mountain or this triangle unless you're both going up towards God. And the closer we got to God and the closer we've been in our relationship, our relationship with Christ has grown our relationship together because we've allocated the time for the Lord in our life. So you can bring God in your day. Think about people like Noah building an ark, working hard. But he was growing closer to God through all of it. Think about your life, your work. How often do you evaluate your daily choices? So Paul is emphasizing to us to be careful with our time, to use it well. We live in times of sin all around us. We live in times that we are just pulled away from everything by something that's better. The billboard says, call this. You're going to have fun here. The billboard says, go this way. Hey, if you turn left in 15 miles, it's going to have great food or a casino or something to distract you from your day. So how do we evaluate our daily choices? And we need to consider what it means to live wisely in our life and ask ourselves, how can we seek God's wisdom in our daily choices? Live life, okay? We all are different. We're all different parts of the same body of Christ. We all have different lifestyles. We all have different people that we're around. We all have different adventures that we go on, different trips, different jobs, different hobbies. But if you use all that for the Lord's glory, you will be spreading God in all aspects of your day. But secondly, so after we need to learn to make these wise decisions. But in order to make wise decisions, we secondly need to set priorities that honor God. Because let's be real, what is your priority? In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, it reminds us that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to mourn. Everything is allotted time. And this verse reveals this orderly nature of God's creation. And by recognizing the proper seasons in our life, we can also recognize that God has set this to a certain time. It does not mean that our days are going to be perfect every day. It does not mean that we're going to have fun every day. It does not mean that some days aren't going to be hard. They are not going to be sad. They're not going to be difficult. All that's going to happen over and over again. But what do we turn to? Who do we turn to? What activity do we spend our time coping with what we're going through? And how do we react to that time? Because we can prioritize our lives in a way that align with God's will, regardless of what we're going through. And we need to trust God through each phase of our life and see how God is growing us in that. Because in the purpose of timing is that everything, to everything there is a season, which is establishing the existence of appropriate times for every activity under the Lord. And at time to every purpose under heaven, which is telling us that there is a divine order and purpose from God to all that is happening. So the time we spend in our day is to help fulfill a great purpose for God in our lives, to live for others. So how do we prioritize our life? What choices are we making? Are we truly giving God our time? Are we truly living out? And I'm not saying we need to focus so intently, like you don't have to become a monk. I mean, if you really devoted that much time specifically to the Lord, that would be great, wouldn't it? But we all aren't going to do that. But what you can do from this day forward, if you haven't done it already, what you can do is realize that if you're a Christian and you live this false identity of comfort to say that I go to church every Sunday, I go to Bible study every week, I spend time in my devotional, and I pray every meal. Once you realize how much time that is actually allocated to God, you can ask yourself, where am I spending with God everywhere else in my life? And you don't have to stop doing the other things. Just ask God how you can bring him into it. Ask God how he can be a part of it. Ask God how you can fulfill his will in what you're doing. We all have to work, right? We all have to put food on the table. Our kids have to go to school. Well, they don't have to. They need to go to school. You don't need to go to your job, but once again, you need the money to pay for what you want to do in life. But you have the choice of how to spend that time. You have the choice at your shift of work that are you going to glorify God in those 8 hours? Are you going to seek God's wisdom in those 8 hours? Are you going to seek God's will to the people that he put you in front of in those 8 hours? Because maybe you're the only Christian in that workplace. And maybe, you might not be the only Christian, but maybe you're the only Christian that is willing to be used by God there. And you can bring God into that equation. So we need to live as wise followers, spending our time sharing who Christ is through living our life with Christ and being obedient to spending our time with him. And going back to Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to live as wise followers of Christ by living in the Lord's will and being filled with the Holy Spirit, giving thanks to God with our time. So how do you currently allocate your time? Is God honored in your daily schedule? Is God a part of your life? Is God a part of your work? Is God a part of your morning routine? Is God a part of your daily commute? How much time are you allocating for Him? And think about giving specific times in your day. I'm a big calendar person. I'm a big task-oriented person. I have them every day, and I click off my little list every single day of tasks that I have. And I've told it to a few people here. If I don't write it down, you're going to have to remind me. Because unless I write it and put time to it, and I look at my calendar later, I forget that it's there. Yeah. But so how do you allocate your time? Are you putting God in your schedule? Do you have specific times for spiritual growth, family, work, rest, ensuring that each aspect of your life honors Christ, honors our Creator? Or do you live your life without giving God the time? Because we need to live our life and have time to glorify God by living in His will. And in doing this, when we live in His will and we allocate the time for Him, we then are demonstrating devotion in our daily life. Not all of us are comfortable speaking to people. Not all of us are comfortable preaching or teaching or praying with somebody. But remember that saying, actions speak louder than words. People see how you live, even if you never speak to them. People see how you carry yourself, how you conduct yourself, how you react to situations. And if you're with somebody for years at a job and they find out one day that you're a Christian, usually one of two things happen. They either go, "Oh, that makes sense. That's why you do this." Or they go, "Huh, I didn't know you were a Christian." Ooh. Imagine being around somebody for years and the actions that you have and the way that you spend your time and the way that you live your life is not showing somebody that you're a Christian. That's a tough pill to swallow. And trust me, I know because I've experienced it. You don't have to live a crazy life. You can just be quiet, dormant. Go to work, go home, not do anything, and still not show the love of Christ to others. But God puts you in the life of other people through your situation to glorify Him there. And it's how you spend your time in those places that's going to show how you demonstrate devotion in our daily life. Colossians 4:5, Paul advises, it says, "Be wise in every way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." So Paul is addressing the importance of seizing every opportunity, every moment to manifest God's love and truth to those who do not yet know Him, or to those who do not see Him in their life, or to those who say they're Christian but don't live out Christianity, because they've never been shown the right example. If we are to live our lives as Christ lived, think about it. Jesus spent all of His time glorifying God. All of his time helping others, reaching others, praying with others, and a very high amount of his time in communication and prayer with our Heavenly Father. And because of that, people saw the way he lived. His name spread because of how he lived, the actions he had, the way he treated people. Even to being nailed on the cross and saying, "Forgive them, for they do not know." How many of us can say that in a situation like that, that we would, our thought would be to forgive them? I don't think it would. But if we are to live like Christ, if we are to live out our life like Christ, we need to spend time with our Heavenly Father the way that Christ did. We need to live our lives the way Christ did and spend the time that he did. No matter what situation Christ was in, no matter what people he was around, he glorified God through it. And we can do that as well if we bring God into our life, if we bring God into our time throughout our day. So taking the opportunity in our life to glorify God, not ourselves. So once again, we've spoken in previous weeks how to be good stewards of our resources, our finances, our talents, our abilities. And now it's our time. How are we good stewards of our time? I couldn't think of a better way to end this four-week series. Next week, we're going to start going back into the book of John that we concluded before the holidays. And we're going to get back into that. But time. How do we spend our time? How do your actions and interaction reflect Christ? What practical ways can you spend with God? What can you do? Today is the day for every single one of us to look in the mirror and ask ourselves what we can do to spend more time with God. What activity or lifestyle do we need to change that's taking us away from God? Or what situation that we're in, or what thing in our life, such as work, our daily commute, however, whatever you want to talk about, how can I bring God into it? Maybe you can't escape work. You're like, "Oh, this is where I work. This is what I do." Ask yourself, have you ever brought God to work with you? Have you ever prayed for your coworkers? Have you ever walked around saying, "God, open the doors for me here. Let your will be done in my day. And if I don't speak to anyone today, let my time glorify you by helping somebody else." We can change that mindset so easily by bringing God into our life. So as we think about this, we mean to make wise decisions that are on God-honoring, that are setting God-honoring priorities, and living a life of continuous devotion for the Lord. And I pray that we can live in this mindset. And we need to live our days knowing that we do not know when our last day may be. We have today. The time that we had yesterday that we didn't use wisely is gone. The morning that we didn't use wisely on the way to church, maybe a situation happened, maybe an argument happened, that time didn't get used wisely for the Lord. What we do after today, that's up to God to determine the time that we have. But in the moment, in the situations you're in, how are you going to spend time with God? How are you going to glorify God in the time that you use? I'm going to invite up the worship team. The last verse I want to read today is Psalm 90, verse 12. "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And this request for wisdom from the psalmist is numbering our days encapsulates the essence. There we go. Woo! Now that I stopped doing, I have to do it again. The numbering our days encapsulates the essence of our stewardship. When we realize that time, one, is not replaceable, and time is not guaranteed, we focus more on the time we have right now. How are you stewarding that time? How are you spending your time? How are you using that time? Because if the time comes and the Lord comes and says, how did you use your time wisely for me today? How did you use your time wisely in your life? How many of us are going to go, I loved you 1.2% of my day every day? Does that sound like love? It sounds horrible. I've never seen zero, like I've never seen 1.2 of anything that was a good thing. How much time are you spending with the Lord? As we move forward this year, as we go into any series that we're in, as we go through John, and when we complete John, I'm praying and saying, I think we should go into the book of Acts, but I've been known to change my mind, so I don't know. I just want the Lord to lead us. But from today forward, from this moment right now, ask yourself, is there time that I'm not giving the Lord? And how can I give the Lord more of me, more of my time, so I can honor him every day of my life? Because our time is not infinite. And when we recognize that, we are compelled to use it wisely. So this week I encourage you to prayerfully evaluate your time and the use of it. Ask God to reveal areas that you are needing to change. Invite the Holy Spirit to guide your daily schedules, to see every opportunity as a chance to serve the kingdom of God. And remember that our time, our finances, our resources, our gifts and abilities are precious resources that, when stewarded well, can have an eternal impact that continually glorify God in our life and to the lives that we come into contact with each and every day will be glorified by our stewardship and the resources that God has given us. So how will we be good stewards of the resources from today forward? How will we be good stewards to fulfill the mission of love God, love people, reach the world? How will we reach the world at AWC and go out to fulfill this vision of this year to grow 55 and 25? By giving intentionally the resources that we have been gifted to glorify God. So how are we investing our time with him? Let's pray.